Good morning. We're on Problem Corner, and this is Jennifer Juhas, guest hosting today, filling in. And our guest today is Amy Schumacher. She is the director of the Joint Pipeline Training Center. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being willing to come. You have quite a lot going on over at the Joint Pipeline Training Center, and today we were going to talk on the air about workforce readiness for a pending gas line. This is something that we started a conversation on a couple of weeks ago with our regular host, and it's been on my mind as we've been seeing the news and talking about how we might finally have that gas line that everyone's thought was pending for the last 40 years. But there's a lot more heightened discussion about permits going through. We're seeing news articles about a friendly federal administration and a friendly state administration. In my mind, we need more than permits. If we're going to capture this opportunity for Alaskans and we're going to be the ones working on the gas line, we need to have a ready workforce. And the first place I thought of is the Joint Pipeline Training Center. First, I just wanted to ask, what goes on over there? What is the Joint Pipeline Training Center, Amy?
The Fairbanks Pipeline Training Center is a multi-craft training trust. We represent five trades, so the electricians, the laborers, operating engineers, plumbers and pipe fitters, and the Teamsters. So all the North Slope trades work together, and how it was developed was pipeline training.
Where did the funds come from?
So it's employer contributions as well as grants we request from the state. So it's a mixture and federal grants too. So we're actually wrapping up a federal grant that we have right now and requesting more. We're always looking for other resources so that we can continue what we're doing. And
even though we read about so many federal cuts, if this is a priority, I would expect that those would still be available for something like the training center. How much of that is for equipment versus buildings versus bodies when you're putting these grants together?
Sure, yeah. So the training is always wanting to place people into jobs. That's the idea, right? But you do need capital improvements, you need equipment. There's a lot that goes into training, as I'm learning this last year. But for the most part, it's meant for training.
How do you work on dozers if you don't have dozers to work on? How do you work on engines of any size if you don't have an engine to work on? And then, you know, I guess you can take them apart several times, but how many times can you weld one section of pipe when you're training for welding and things like that?
Right. So we rely on community, right? We have donations that come in with pipe that we can cut and re-weld and cut again and re-weld, like you said. But we have a really great support system. All of the trades work really well together. They get the idea, the mission, right, of training Alaskans for these opportunities. So they make my world very easy, and I love working with our partners. So,
how many instructors do you have?
Well, we don't. FPTC is kind of the hub, right? So we work with all
what
the
is trade. FPTC?
FPTC, Fairbanks Pipeline
Training. I thought they just said FE.
Sometimes I go a little fast, too. The Fairbanks Pipeline Training Center is kind of the hub, and we do all the outreach. I shouldn't say we do all the outreach. We work together with everyone, and the instructors come from the trade. So we spoke about instructors there for a little bit, and the hard part is that they're needed right now. You know, mm-hmm. the work is there, and they can go out and make a lot of money. So having them come and teach for us is I don't want to say hard, but it can be difficult to draw them away from the bigger paychecks to come and teach,
right?
The next group. So we rely on people that want to stay in town, that don't mind working 40 hours a week. And then also some retirees have come out of retirement to help share their knowledge, which has been great.
Well, let's talk a little bit about capacity and trying to judge that capacity, too. My trade was dental hygiene. Mm-hmm. I went through the dental hygienist program in Anchorage, and our structure was to graduate 16 students each year. And we worked very closely with the Dental Society to decide how many jobs were out there, because once someone's trained, they want to be employed, and that's part of your mission as well. So
Correct. There
was a while in the early 90s when a couple of dentists had gotten themselves on the board, and they said, you have to graduate more students, have to graduate more students. And the dean of the program, who was a good friend of mine by the time I graduated, said, you know, the capacity is 16. And so to appease them, they graduated 18 students one year. And two people did not find jobs.
Right.
And the same two dentists that said there was a shortage couldn't find workers. Turned out they were a little bit difficult to work for. But the capacity has to be gauged for the people that are coming through the training program.
Sure.
So when I was on with our regular host, and I said, you know, what can we do to prepare? He said, well, you can't prepare for these things. I thought, well, you have to prepare in some manner.
Sure.
We have, you know, fire plans. So that we had the pandemic flu plan. You have to have some sort of a plan to be able to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, responding would be having enough Alaskans getting ready to be trained so that the jobs are there by the time they earn their certification or they complete their apprenticeship or they've obtained their skills, even if that's just a commercial driver's license. So what is the lag time? How long does it take to go through? What's the shortest and the longest program that someone would need to enter into in order to be certified and employable in these fields?
Sure, yeah. So there's a wide range. Obviously, you can come in and be a welder's helper and not have much experience. But then on the other hand, you have to go through an 8,000-hour program for heavy-duty mechanics.
Right.
So, and then everything in between. So I think the plumbers and pipe fitters is 5 years. So some are based on hours, some are based on years. It depends.
That was really where I was going, is that if you've decided that if you wanted to capture the opportunity when our gas line comes through and you wanted to be a plumber and pipe fitter,
mm-hmm.
you're looking at investing 5 years. So this 40 years worth of, oh, the gas line's going to happen tomorrow. We've talked yesterday that it could happen as mm-hmm. soon as December. And Glenn Farn and governors and federal administrators are thinking that it may.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have people who are trained yet for that.
Right.
And there's often a lot of talk about those people from the lower 48 that come up and take our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about that when we come back from the break,
okay.
about how to some degree they have to be here if we aren't trained yet up.
Right.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in and explore their extensive fishing department. Rods to reels, lures to lines. You'll see fresh and saltwater, as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaska-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear. Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
This is Lori Prox of KVAK Radio in Valdez. The Silver Salmon Derby leaders are changing almost daily. The fish are big and getting bigger. Jason Galbraith of Edgewood, New Mexico, caught an 11.74-pound silver salmon on July 24th and said it was a marvelous day. It was his first time fishing.
Lots of fun, lots of fish. friends and family.
Wow. So what did you think? An 11.74-pound fish at the end of your line. What's going through your mind?
I was blown away.
Galbraith stands to win $10,000 if his silver salmon holds on through the end of the Derby August 31st. Only time will tell if his fish will hold on. But he did win a first-place daily prize in the Derby. Oren Lee of Caldwell, Idaho, won a second-place daily prize with a 10.40-pound silver caught July 20th. When asked whether the fish are running, he had this to say.
Yes, ma'am. They're in and running hot and heavy. We limited out in about an hour.
Lee said he caught his winning silver salmon about 20 miles out of Valdez. There are a few reports of silvers being caught by Goose Island and Knoll's Head. Most are getting picked up outside of Valdez toward Glacier Island. After the last 2 years of weak silver salmon runs, it looks like we finally got a good one. Here's what Lee said when I asked him what was working to catch those silvers.
We were using several different things, and they were hitting on all of it.
If you're looking to catch a big halibut, silver salmon, or rockfish in Valdez, get geared up at the Prospector in Valdez. Need boots or rain gear? Prospector's got it. Our Valdez store has rods, reels, tackle, bait, and even coolers to bring your catch home too. Talk to our local experts and get the right gear for Prince William Sound. The Prospector's open late all summer.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR Weather.
Chance for scattered showers today. Otherwise, overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 62. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast tonight. Chance for scattered showers 54. Chance of rain showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 66. Overcast skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
We're back with my guest, Amy Schumacher of the Joint Pipeline Training Center. I'm your host today, Jennifer Juhas. And we're just talking about how long it takes to get certified and trained for some of the job opportunities that will come, you know, with the pending gas line, and that some of those are an investment of about 5 years. Some of those are easy. You can get a flagger certification online with a little test and $90. You can, you know, help run the pilot car. You can be a welder's helper with very little
experience
sure. Training. Yeah. You'll get that training sometimes on the job. Mm-hmm. But those aren't the highest paying jobs, and those aren't the jobs that right. keep people in a community. So we've got two sides of things. One, there will be people from the lower 48 who will need to come up here and take some of the jobs because they are already skilled. I also am a little bit anxious as someone who represents state employees that we have a pool of people that are already hard to fill in these state jobs. Heavy-duty mechanics mm-hmm. are in many times getting paid the same as light-duty mechanics. They say, we're doing heavy-duty work for Jiffy Lube wages. Mm-hmm. And if they have other opportunities that can suit their family, they're willing to leave right away.
Sure.
So when we have something like this and we have all of these equipment, I can see a drain. We call it the train drain oftentimes at the state of Alaska, where if you're an operator or a mechanic or several of these other positions, you would go into that field and probably immediately leave state employment if you weren't, you know, waiting to certify for your tier two retirement, and then they would leave anyway.
Right. That's definitely an issue, retaining Alaskans for work, which I think everybody struggles with. But really, it's a crystal ball, right, to determine how many jobs are going to be available, what you should train for, your intake. I worked at the operator's apprenticeship for many years, and Click Bishop always called it the crystal ball. You know, you're looking at this, you're looking at what's projected for work, you're looking at how many graduates you're going to have, and then you try and fill those gaps.
Exactly. Yeah. So you'll be talking with the producers and the explorers mm-hmm. for, as a training facility and several of our other apprenticeship programs, they work with what's in the field, like I was talking about with the dental hygienist, you know, mm-hmm. how many people would have a job next year in a 2-year training program, and so they gauge how many students they'll take by how many people will be employed, and they let you know that. Mm-hmm. So why would someone move from Hooslea or Beaver into town to come through a training program if they weren't going to have a job?
Right. Right. So you have to draw them in somehow
and predict
right.
the timeline.
Yeah, which is nobody can do. So how do you project that? You know, you stay steady. So Fairbanks Pipeline Training Center, we're going to always train as if a gas line is coming. If it comes and the stars seem to be very much aligned right now, then that's great. That would be great. But to supplement, you know, right now we have Willow and Pica that could supplement those people that would be used for Alaska LNG. But we're trying to avoid these boom bust cycles, which is very hard.
You told me about a book yesterday.
Yeah.
What Happened to Fairbanks by Mim Dixon?
Yes.
And that was recommended by Click Bishop.
Yes.
And part of when you were talking about the boom and bust cycle of the jobs we think about associated with a pipeline, mm-hmm. I immediately went back to service industry, you know, dental hygienists or, you know,
right.
hairdressers, pizza places, mm-hmm. Car shops.
Right.
When people come into a community, if they stay, they need services.
Right.
If they're here for a while, then you also have a temporary service industry that stands up and scales down. You have clinics that open, and then when a camp closes and people aren't living there, then everything around it tends to close if we aren't attracting people to stay. The same way we've talked about supporting our military with the F-16s all the way to the F-35s now. You know, do we have the infrastructure? People will need housing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll decide that the first people that will take these jobs are people who are already trained. Some of them will come from the lower 48.
Right.
We know that. But then they will decide whether they're going to do a two-on, two-off hitch and leave their family in the lower 48, or whether they love our community enough and we have enough infrastructure around us for them to move their families up, mm-hmm. become part of Alaska, pay their property taxes here, feed into our school system.
Right.
And so there's more pieces than simply the workforce. Can the community support those workers and attract them? And then the biggest thing we wanted to talk about is how Alaskans can capitalize on those opportunities.
Right. So Alaskans first is always the goal with the trades and FPTC, of course, and the community, right? So Fairbanks is a tough place to live because of the weather and the environment. Excuse me.
Energy costs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. So how do you attract people to come and stay? I think that it's an individual basis, right? We aren't going to have some perfect answer for everyone to come and stay. They have to come and try it out. And sometimes they are the out-of-towners that are here for 2 weeks on and 2 weeks off and then decide to move their family up for a better opportunity. There's a lot of work that can sustain families. The community is great here. You know, we lean on each other because of the extreme environment. So I think that Fairbanks is a really tight-knit community, and I love living here. I don't plan to leave anytime soon, even though, you know, in the middle of winter at 40 below, sometimes you're questioning your sanity.
You know, people asked me, I had been here for college and wanted to come back, but spent a lot of time in Anchorage and Juneau. And then I came up in 2002 to work on a house race and just fell in love with Fairbanks. And it was, you know, winter because we were doing elections. Mm-hmm. And I stayed through the winter before the legislative session started. And people were so welcoming. I got invited to, I don't know how many people invited me to Thanksgiving because they knew I was just up for a while,
right.
just in the grocery store. I'd met them once. And then I lived in a waterless cabin for 6 years. Even when I was working in the mayor's office, my mother said, well, you have a good job, but it's part of our culture
right,
up here.
Right.
And I've told people around who said, you know, why, how can you stand that? I couldn't do 40 below. And I said, well, when it's 40 below outside, you have to be nice to your neighbor because you might need them.
Yeah.
And people are.
Right. That's right. And that sense of camaraderie, right? We're in this together. And you find that in the trades.
Mm-hmm.
I just recently went out to a village, to Nunik, Alaska. And it, you can see it even more there, right?
It's beautiful out there. The okay. country is beautiful. The people are beautiful.
Yeah, they're very welcoming. They're wonderful because they know that each of, you know, your livelihoods kind of depend on each other, right? You're having to lean on each other for things. And so that was very strong in that community. I loved seeing it. It was
It's How many great. People shared their fish with you?
I got gifted a can of Spam, so I felt pretty, pretty accepted. Yeah. But we went out there to train for first aid CPR. So they have a project this summer. It's water and sewer. So they're trying to get all of the houses hooked up to water and sewer.
Great.
And so we wanted to talk about opportunities, right? There's obviously a project that's going on in their village this summer, but there's other things that they can be doing and training for the slope, obviously, the gas line if it comes through. But and we just want to raise awareness because we want Alaskans to take these jobs first and to have a good shot at it is what FPTC is built on, right? We want you to know about the opportunities. And sometimes you don't. So
what are the steps that that someone would take? You know, you're living in. Oh, time to go to break.
In 1 more minute.
Okay. So we got 1 minute till break, and then. But we do when we come back. We want to. I want to save it for the next segment, so we don't get interrupted there. But we want to make sure that Alaskans are taking advantage, whether you live off the road system or on the road system. Why would you want to come to town and start an apprenticeship? You know, what are the benefits? What skills will you learn? You know, what jobs are there and available for you afterwards?
Right. So each apprenticeship is obviously different, and we can expand on that after the break too. But, you know, I guess I look at some of these people and say, well, what do you want to do? And, you know, they look at me and say,
what was the interest while you were out there? What were they most interested in?
Welding. Welding is very, very interesting, and a lot of the trades do it. So you can have a lot of choices in that. Pipe fitting is specific to the pipe fitters, but there's fabrication as well as other things that you can do. There's a lot of side jobs that include welding, I've noticed.
Our state workers at both of the airports have shown me where they have a fab lab.
Oh,
I think
nice.
It's the fabulous lab, but they're fabricating things. And they've done things to modify even the snow graders. Mm-hmm. You know, they were breaking windshields because of the way that the loader was working. And so they welded some guards and made them, and they made some tweaks to some of the scoops. They did that all right in house because they had the skills to do that and save the state a whole lot of money rather than trying to buy other equipment. They simply modified what we have.
Yeah, problem solving is a huge skill set, so that's awesome.
Oh, my computer says actually that it's 11:28.
Oh, so we have
so
2 minutes.
I think the clock here in the on the wall is a little bit off. I was like, why isn't the music playing?
We might get cut off. But no, to problem solve is great. That's a great skill set, as well as just being able to see something that needs to be changed and being able to build it. My husband is a craftsman, and we talk about it quite a bit. Knowing how to see things. I have to have a picture. You have to show me a picture. I can't see it in my mind's eye. And there's some people that can just make something out of nothing almost. So, I can appreciate.
That's my phone making that noise.
Okay.
Anyway. Put it away so it's not distracting.
No, you're fine. So everybody in Tununic was really welcoming and.
We'll be right back. More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming
live. Fox News, I'm John Saucier. A 27-year-old male gunman from Nevada shot and killed at least four people, wounded another in a New York City office building yesterday before turning the gun on himself. New York Republican mayoral candidate Curtis Sliwa on the Fox News channel warns what could happen because of this shooting.
We better beware that terrorists may be watching and take advantage of these kinds of weaknesses that are being shown.
This shooter traveled to New York from Las Vegas. And police found more information and a revolver in the suspect's car. They're working on a motive. President Trump says he sees real signs of starvation in Gaza, is pledging to help set up new food centers. U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee on Fox News Channel points the finger at Hamas.
It's a mess, but it is a mess because Hamas has made it a mess. They could have ended this 2 years ago, shortly after October the 7th, but they chose not to.
Huckabee says he believes the relationship between Israel and the United States the strongest it's ever been. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KQUU reports the city and borough of Juneau is about to begin construction on a $240 million hydropower project. The project consists of a partnership between the borough, the company Ameresco, and the newly formed utility company Juneau Hydropower Incorporated. The project is tasked to build a 19.8-megawatt hydropower facility on Sweetheart Lake. The project will be vast, with nearly 9 miles of high-voltage power lines that will bridge the system together and help power Juneau using renewable energy. It's adding 20% of generation to the system, and through this transmission, we'll be able to serve different loads. President of Federal and Utility Solutions at Ameresco, Nicole Bulgarino, said. Officials say the investment being made by Juneau will be competitive with the bidding process on equipment and materials set to begin soon. The goal of the project is to help serve Juneau for the next 50 years. The project is scheduled to break ground this year and is expected to be completed by 2028.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Our very best waiting for you today, just $6. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizzas for $6. Customer Appreciation Day is today at Gapco. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizza for $6.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereaton, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereaton, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Price RV. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price, all from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
All seasons are tea season, and it's time for you to explore all of the flavors at Sipping Streams Tea Company. Whether you're shopping for an extraordinary gift, or you crave the flavor and comfort of a great cup of tea, or if you're a true tea connoisseur, Sipping Streams Tea Company is perfect for you. For this week's 50-50 Friday, you'll get a $100 gift certificate to Sipping Streams for half price. It's a tea lover's paradise with a great menu. Book a Victorian tea party with your friends. Don't miss this deal for 50-50 Friday.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
What are you doing in the library? You're a dog.
Hi, I'm Jack, a Companions Inc. Fairbanks volunteer therapy dog. My human brings me to the university library right before final exams every semester, and I hang out with all my university students. They toss my ball, scratch my ears, they laugh, relax, decrease their stress. As a Companions Inc. therapy dog, I volunteer to share my love regularly at Denali Center and community events. If you want to learn more about Companions Inc. Fairbanks, go to companionsinc.org.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
We're back with Problem Corner, and I'm talking with Amy Schumacher of the Joint Pipeline Training Center, and I'm working the buttons. We were having such a good conversation at the break, I got a little lost before the roll stopped. But we were talking about how obviously, there will have to be some backfill, as there is with every project that comes around. That we don't have anything against some of the out-of-state workers who will have to come up, who will be already skilled. And some of the workers will be pulled from Alaskans already, who will take a different job, and they're already skilled up here. But in order to enter a training program, people want to know that they'll have a job. And so there will be this, you can't really see outside the studio because it's radio and there's no visual, but there will be this curve of immediately people will have to ramp up. And then we will ramp up our training and our apprenticeship programs. And the people from out of state who don't intend to stay will be here for the ramp up and the peak. But we should be able to capture as many jobs as possible and probably attract some good workers who want to stay. I had an ankle surgery this spring, and my ankle doctor, Dr. Dustin Hubbard, if anybody wonders, is a fantastic clinic over there at Fairbanks Foot and Ankle. And I did my due diligence, looked him up. He's highly rated. What is he doing in Fairbanks? Well, he and his wife like our lifestyle, and they've got kids. It's a great place to raise your kids. They're very outdoorsy. They do a lot of the outdoors things that we do here in Fairbanks. When I was in Anchorage, I worked for the nation's third rated periodontist gum surgeon. What was he doing up here? Well, he loved hunting and fishing. Right, right. And he moved up with his family and said, this is where I want to be. He could live anywhere. Mm-hmm. Lectured all over the nation. We'll attract some of those people for our general lifestyle, but we do need to think about which trades we'll need to ramp up. And you're saying there's no real way to predict that, which is true. Similar to an event, you know, you plan a party, you don't know how many people might come, you try to get RSVPs, then you plan your food and the size of the room accordingly. Mm-hmm. We have basic plans for emergency response, flood and fire. Mm-hmm. And then you watch the conditions, and then you add materials and humans and activity based on what you see happening. And so it's not an emergency. It's a benefit to have a gas line come through. But we'd do the same thing. You're shaking your head yes.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, the research that went into this gas line, they predict that, you know, they have crunched the numbers, and they figure that it's about 6,000 jobs. And how many of those are construction? I'm not exactly sure. I don't have the figures, but for every pipeliner, there's about 15 support positions. So that includes, you know, a welder helper to a chef on the line, mm-hmm. to, you know, hospitality, and restaurants and et cetera. Anyway, so how do you predict and how do you, kind of soften that curve so that it's not so high? Like you said, you know, when we get the initial attack, that there's going to be people that come from out of state. We know that's going to happen. But hopefully by the end of that big project, we have maintenance jobs that our locals can fill and have for, you know, an entire career. That's kind of the idea. So we want to train for the construction, but then we also want to make sure that we have those I think they call them legacy jobs, where they take those jobs for the remaining of their careers and can retire at the end of those. But
I see the first step to that as initiating this discussion, and thank you for being here. That we're getting the workforce prepared to be able to to capture those jobs, so that we're talking at Hutchison High School, we're talking at UIF Career Center, and then you said there's another trade school in North Pole.
Yeah, so I think that everybody is starting to get on board with the trades, right? There for a while, it was you got to go to college in order to have a successful career, and there's nothing against university, because there's a lot of things that we need. Engineers, obviously, doctors. There's plenty of good skill set there.
Well, my friend Naomi at IBEW, she went and got a forester's degree, mm-hmm. which there's not really foresters jobs right now. So then she went back and trained to be an electrician.
Oh, very cool.
So, you know, here's someone with a degree that there wasn't a job for. We don't want to see that happen in the trades either. Right. You don't want to train to be an electrician and find out there's no jobs. Mm-hmm. So that's where the capacity is right now. Only so many students are attracted by our apprenticeships, because we want them to be fruitful when they graduate the apprenticeships and have a job. Yeah. So we'd need to bolster those programs and have folks who are ready to enter into them.
Right. So right now we partner with the school district. There's a CTE program there, and the staff is wonderful. We love Andrea and Audra and Julie. And we have classes that are meant for high schoolers to explore the trades. So we put on a two-day class, and they can come in, check it out. If that's something that they want to do, then we have a two-week class at the end of the school year that they can really dive deep. And then the trades themselves get to evaluate the student. Mm-hmm. Is this somebody that would be a good fit for the apprenticeship? So we're trying to get awareness out there. That's something I think that a lot of people say, well, I never even knew that the trades existed. I didn't know what a union mm-hmm. was, you know. So it's a lot of education. And as far as the community aspect goes, parents could help with that, you know, talking about what's available. We try and go to classrooms and expand on what an apprenticeship is and how to join, how to apply, what you should prepare for. Driver's license, that's a big one.
Right.
A lot of kids are maybe not as enthusiastic as I was when I was of age to drive. So we're trying to encourage that.
Well, we didn't have Uber back then.
Yeah. It's a little bit different. But that's something that you'll have to have in any of the trades. You have to get yourself to and from work, you know. Mm-hmm. Drugs and alcohol, just stay off of them. They're not worth it, especially with the paychecks that you'd be bringing in.
Yeah.
That's something.
Now a commercial driver's license is needed for operating any of the equipment. And, you know, if you get pulled over once, it goes in that database and you've paid $10,000 to get a CDL and, you know, you take the wrong test.
Yeah, it is an investment for sure. And CDL drivers are highly sought after right now. So if that's something that interests you, it is an investment. You, like you said, it's 10 grand almost.
There are some ways to get that paid for.
Yes. State has, they have programs, they have grants. You could go down to the Department of Labor and talk to a caseworker and get your CDL and go to work. So there's lots of opportunity right now, and that's what we're trying to encourage people is just to get out there and figure out what you want to do and take advantage of it. So
I love the try it out days.
Yeah.
And Alaska Works Partnership has so many programs. They can go online. Just Google Alaska Works Partnership.
So it's alaskaworks.org. And they are wonderful. Yeah, they have free week-long trainings that they do. So if you're somebody that's unsure of what you might want to do, you can try it out as well. So it's they have great programs. Women in the Trades, which is wonderful, so that females can come in that may be a little bit intimidated can try it out as well. You know, I've heard that the best operators are females, maybe. but it's
you know, Local 71 has a member, Melanie White, who is running for Miss Alaska USA. She's currently Miss Fairbanks USA.
Nice.
And she's running on a platform of getting more women into the trades. She's one of our maintenance workers out at Eielson Air Force Base, and she's hoping to use the scholarship money for her CDL. She's learned welding. I got to see the grill she made out there. It's so neat. And it's got this salmon handle, and she painted it. And I said, is welding going to be your talent? And she said, no, singing. And then she sang at the union night at the park gorgeously. But she's, you know, just a fantastic person.
Yes.
But her platform is getting more women into the trades with the Alaska Tradeswomen.
Well, that's exciting. And I think that you know, when you can see your face in somebody else doing the thing, then it encourages you to go try it at least. So we're open to anybody coming and trying. So if you're somebody that's interested in trying the trades, you can always come by. You can call 907-455-1234. We'll talk to you about whatever your interests are. I usually ask a million questions so that I can narrow it down.
455-1234.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah. So, but literally all of the trades in Fairbanks, they work together. So if somebody comes in and they, you know, go to the plumbers and pipefitters and say, you know, I really want to drive truck, nobody's going to hold them down and say, no, you got to be a fitter, you know. We all work together.
Yes.
All the training trusts work together, and we'll point you in the direction that you want to go. We're here to encourage what you want to do, because, you know, getting into an apprenticeship and then 2 years in and it's not what you want to do, that's more detrimental, I think, than just figuring out. initially, but
so 458-1234
455
1234, and we'll be back after the break.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks is raving about the technology available for your home from the folks at Gen Solar. From the Tesla solar technology and their amazing sleek power walls, to the always dependable Generac system and EcoFlow battery systems, all for your home or business, all designed to keep your home safe from power outages while feeding power back to the grid and saving you time and money. See for yourself and get all of your questions answered in their amazing new showroom, 29 College Road, right across from the Bentley Mall. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. Gen Solar.
Endless opportunities are waiting for you with part-time service in the Alaska Army National Guard. You have the chance to be a guardian of this amazing state and help protect what makes it so special. The Alaska Army National Guard responds quickly to emergencies and helps citizens in need. With so much amazing territory to watch over, first responders depend on the Alaska Army National Guard helicopters and air crews for critical search and rescue missions, fighting wildfires, as well as transport to hard-to-reach areas. Soldiers also help local communities recover from the damage caused by storms and floods. Your service will also provide education benefits. The Alaska Army National Guard has several assistance programs to help pay tuition costs and other educational expenses so you can get the education needed to reach your career goals. And you can go to school full-time while serving part-time. Learn how you can help guard the last frontier at nationalguard.com/AK. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
I shall never see a poem as lovely as a... Oh, hello. Are you surprised to learn that I love poetry? It's true. Poems have such a pleasant flow about them. Don't you think? I do my best work when I'm not, you know, bloated. My family calls Bigfoot pumping and thawing just once a year to keep my poetry flowing. I serve them much better. The Bigfoot with a helping hand.
KFAR weather.
Chance for scattered rain showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High of 62. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers tonight. Lows level off around 54. Cloudy skies. Chance of rain showers tomorrow. High of 66. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we're back in the studio with Amy Schumacher from the Joint Pipeline Training Centers. Thank you so much for the websites and the phone numbers. What is the phone number again if folks are looking at exploring what they might be interested in for trades, if they want to decide which trades might fit them?
Sure. So our number is 907-455-1234, and you will talk to our lovely office manager, Cassie Graves, and she'll point you in the right direction. So if you are interested in trying out trades, it'll probably be Alaska Works, but if you know for sure that you want to be an electrician, a plumber, pipe fitter, a construction laborer, operating engineer, or heavy-duty mechanic, as well as a Teamster truck driver, we can get you linked up with those apprenticeships and the process for applying for those apprenticeships. So,
and you don't have to simply commit and be stuck. I talk to a lot of high schoolers about staying in school. We go through that program. My friend Shelley runs that, and I've explained to them that, you know, just because you pick a path, you can switch tracks. I thought I was going to be a botanist. Then I got a degree in dental hygiene, and I've spent the last 25 years working on policy, doing legislative and right. community work, board processes, worked for a mayor, a commissioner. you don't have to stay in one track. If you start down it and think I'd be better at something else, or if you get into an apprenticeship and they say, you know what you'd be really good at, I want to send you over here if you want to go.
Yeah. So with with the trades, you kind of want to know what you're doing before an apprenticeship program, because you are committed to a five-year program or 5,000 hours or whatever the requirement is. So what we try to do is get you into an Alaska Works class first. Try it out, because you'll probably know pretty quickly whether or not that is for you or not, especially not if you don't want to do that specific.
You start with carpentry, yeah. And it's just, you think, I thought I was going to love this, but I don't.
Right.
And then you find out, I'm really good at welding and I like it.
But to learn a skill set is amazing. To invest in yourself, right? We talk to our sons about that, is that investing in yourself, you can never lose that. You'll know how to fix your own plumbing or fix an electrical problem, and that's an important skill set to have, right?
Kyle, that worked with me at Local 71, he would joke, and I didn't quite understand it because he was the business rep, and he'd said, we need to do this thing with our pipes, but I know a guy. And he's like, who's the guy? He's like, I'm a plumber. I'm like, oh, okay, you've got a plumber certification. Yeah. Got it.
and that's great, because you can move around, you can do a lot of things. So yes, figure out what you want to do, and we can help with that. And then, move into a career that could last you 30 plus years if that's what you want to do. Like you said, you can move around and figure out other things that you'd like to do. I know that a lot of times when you're on a job, you kind of look over and you say, oh, I can do that, and you want to try other things. So we do encourage you to kind of figure that out, sort it out first before you sign an apprenticeship. But that's kind of.
But the recruiters will help you. I know yeah, Danny over at the Laborers is real good at assessing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Danny and Justin and Casey, everybody's great. They will ask you questions, kind of figure out what your interest is. And if you're in high school, you can take one of our classes. If you are out of high school, then Alaska Works kind of takes over with those. And it's just, it's,
well, they make you take a test. You've got to shovel so much gravel in a short period of time in order to qualify.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you have to definitely, like I said, you got to know what your strong suits are, and they'll test them. So, you have to be ready, but it's not anything to be scared of. There's a lot of, like I said, camaraderie and community within the construction trades.
At our union, we started a scholarship fund. And so, like, back to Melanie, she's a maintenance worker, and she learned welding, learned some other skills, and is very good at them, but said, gosh, there's a bigger paycheck if I get a CDL, right? And so we have a scholarship program where any of our members or their direct dependents, even if you have grandkids that are living with you, they'd be a dependent, they can get a scholarship for certifications or college or anything else. But we've got fellas who, there's one in particular, every year he applies for the scholarship to pay for his research for his certification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, knowing what your skill set is and wanting to better yourself, nobody's ever going to argue with that, right? So, but getting in right now, there's a lot of opportunity. And I just keep saying that because we didn't have as many options maybe when we were younger. I've heard I didn't apply for an apprenticeship, but back in the day, there'd be 500 applications and only 10 slots, right?
Right.
Now it's a lot less.
There's maybe three applicants for seven slots.
Right.
So there, yes, there's less slots, but there's less applicants. And what you talked about, once you have a skill that you can take it anywhere, I think it is really important to do something that you enjoy. And so we talked about the crystal ball and how we won't know exactly which jobs will be the most in demand and which, we know which ones pay a little bit more than the others or a lot. But getting any certification now, taking that with you, when we have our ramp up for a gas line, back to that, of course, we're going to have some initial people who come from Lower 48 they'll be training some of our other people who are in apprenticeship program, who expect to stay and want to live in Alaska. And some of our outlying communities right outside of Fairbanks, you know, how will those thrive unless Alaskans are taking those jobs and building a house? And, you know, some of the things that, that sprout up, barbershops, pizza places, car repair, clinics.
Right.
Will they close their walls later when everybody leaves, or will we capture enough people to stay because we've trained Alaskans who want to stay and live there and attracted a few people from the Lower 48 who want to raise their family here?
Right. So that's the idea, always to retain Alaskans and maybe, you know, like you said, add a couple more to the pot. But it's difficult. It's not an easy problem to solve. And like I said, it's based on the individual. So it takes a lot of one-on-one. It takes a lot of conversation and saying, well, what are you interested in? Well, what would you like to do? Okay, you didn't like that. We'll go try this. And just to make people feel that you care about them, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where the unions come in. They're pro-member, and that's exactly what they should be. So we just, as FPTC, as a multi-craft training trust, we're kind of supplementing that, right? The unions are there, but we want to also make sure that they're getting everything that they can for training future Alaskans.
And I just think as we're wrapping up our initiation of this conversation, thank you for helping me initiate it. As we're wrapping that up, even though that crystal ball won't tell us exactly which are going to be the most in demand, I would say don't wait. If you test things out and you decide that you like something, whether that's welding or driving or anything else, getting that certification now to be ready, you can get another one.
Right.
You can slide a little bit between the trades. There's a little bit of overlap with some of that.
For sure.
You know, the private contractors who are doing this will hire you in one position, find out that you're good at something, and help you get trained into more skills, just like Melanie's doing, right?
Right.
Learned to weld. Now she wants her CDL.
Right.
That waiting to say, well, I'm going to sit and wait until we know what everything is. We'll be in the middle of our boom then.
Yeah.
And a few people will be able to get in then and capture that.
Yeah.
But I really think the thing to do is be exploring that now,
yes,
to do something that you like so that you're ready.
Definitely.
Invest
in yourself, because you don't know what's going to happen. So if you can have a skill set plus a couple certifications, you can move around. You'll have more options.
So if you're in high school, talk to your high school counselor. If you're in the military and you have a skill, then we'll be able to capture a lot of those folks, too, who've decided, you know, I'm ready to get out, and now there's all this opportunity, and I want to stay in Fairbank. That's a given.
For sure.
But some of our rural folks, you know, who live in Beaver or Hooslea or Fort Yukon, Tana Cross, being able to show them what's available so that they can stay in Alaska and build a skill and continue.
Correct. Yeah. And that cultural awareness, right, as far as living a subsistence lifestyle and knowing that you can do it. There's been, one apprentice in particular that comes to mind. His name was Daryl Deacon. He's from Grayling, Alaska, and he is a successful operator, and he makes it work, you know. So there are ways to do it, but having that compassion for the individual is, I think, what we bring, and that's what we want to continue on, is that, yeah, there's a big project coming, but who builds it? The individuals. So we need to be mindful of that and make sure that they know what their options are. So.
And some of that options is scholarships and grants. Mm-hmm. Don't let the price tag set you back, because there are so many programs that, as long as someone has the will and the drive, whether it's a local union scholarship, whether it's a federal grant for whatever type of person who qualifies, you know, sometimes it's you have to be a woman. Sometimes you have to be an Alaska Native. Sometimes you have to be of a certain age. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to be helmets to hard hats getting out of the military. There's ways to qualify for so many of these, and there's ways to pay for that certification if it looks ominous. Thank you so much for being with us, and I guess that is our ending music. We'll be back tomorrow with Problem Corner.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.